day.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, 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 welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Thursday to you. It's Thursday, March the 21st. I got my fellas in the house. I got Gary Washburn, NBA columnist, NBA reporter for the Boston Globe. I call him some other things, but he looking at me like he about to smack me. So I'm not going to do it.
So how are we going to get started?
So, what's up, G? What's good? And you going to say what's up?
Yeah, what's up? It's so good to be here.
Okay. All right. Dad.
I know,
right? And then I got Mr. Michael Lee from The Athletic. You know, Mike's been around for a while, so I don't even feel like I need to introduce him anymore.
They
ain't tired of you. They're not tired of you. But look, y'all, this is what we want to talk about today. In the first segment, we want to talk about, well, first of all, we're going to talk about last night's game. You know, the 76ers defeated the Boston Celtics 118-115. And we're going to talk about, did we actually see a preview of the Eastern Conference Finals? It could happen. I mean, it could possibly happen. Secondly, what we're going to talk about is which team has the most to lose with a first-round exit. That's huge, I mean, when you think of it. And then thirdly, we're going to name a player that we think kind of like an unheralded player, so to speak, anybody who, you know, we're really intrigued to see what, you know, what they can do in the postseason.
So, off of these two rosters,
yeah. You can't say the Greek Freak. You can't say Kawhi. You can't say anything like that. But, Gary, I mean, did you think we saw the Eastern Conference preview?
No, I think we saw a good potential first-round series, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think both teams are going to be hard. I mean, I think maybe maybe the conference finals, that's probably at this point, you know, being the third seed and the fourth seed when they're going to meet, where they have to be the conference finals. Philadelphia's going to get past Toronto. The Celtics had to get past the Pacers and the Bucks. Good luck with that. There's a high-intensity game, a high-intensity, just the obviously from the pregame opening tip, just the Sixer fans were into it. The Sixers really felt like they needed this win, probably more than the Celtics did, even though the Celtics – are probably a more desperate team in terms of them chasing a seed and trying to get home court advantage. But just a really high-level game. I mean, good offense, good defense, physical. Darnay had a fight. I mean, all of what you want in a rivalry game and two teams that really want it and don't particularly like each other.
Yeah. What about you, Mike?
I think that, you know, best-case scenario for these teams – They can meet. I think that you had the most talented starting five, I think, in Philadelphia, and you had the deepest team, even though they were missing a lot of key players because Gordon Hayward was out with concussion protocol. Marcus Smart got ejected for shoving Joel Embiid, which is pretty bold. I got to give Marcus Smart props because he not only shoved Embiid to the ground, but he waved to him to come on like he wanted some. Which you don't really see a lot of players do. Like, most time everybody's like, yeah, hold me back. He was just standing there like, yeah, come on, bring it, which I was impressed by. And they didn't have, and then Baines got hurt as well. So you didn't actually see the Boston team that you're going to see in the playoffs. But I think it was a big win overall for the Sixers because they just beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee, which is clearly a statement game. Joel Embiid, you know, had a 40-15 game. And then, you know, against his biggest nemesis, because Al Horford has been a thorn in his side for a long time because he's just smart, he's strong, and he knows exactly what Joel's going to do whenever he touches the ball. So there aren't too many defensive players who are willing to take on that challenge and can do it the way Horford can. So to have Embiid have a big game against this team, you could tell. I mean, he played 41 minutes. He was just gas at some stretches. You know, Brett was being creative in substitutions and how he's, you know, utilizing his guys to give them breathers. But to have 37 points, 22 rebounds, and, you know, some key defensive plays down the stretch. It was probably more – it probably meant more to Joel to get this win than anybody else on this, on the court. Because, you know, Jimmy's new, but he wants to win. He wants to compete. Tobias is new. Those guys haven't really dealt with the pain of losing to the Celtics in the playoffs and then losing, you know, the first three games of the season against them. So it was a big game, and I think at least going – if they are to meet in the finals, conference finals, the Sixers won't have, I think, that same mental block that we can't beat them. I think that if they had gone to a series being swept for season series, they would have gone into that series feeling like with some doubt. Like, yeah. Can we actually do it with these guys?
Yeah, now here's the thing. Like, when you look at it, you look at Milwaukee. You know, Milwaukee has the best record in the league. But right now they have Malcolm Brogdon, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be out, what they say, 6 to 8 weeks, right?
They lost.
So then you have Nico Mirotic is going to be out 2 to 4 weeks with a thumb.
Yeah.
Right? And when he played against the Sixers, he was horrible.
Yeah.
And then so then you look at Toronto. Like, I think the Celtics can beat Indiana. Let's just say they do a matchup with Indiana. Indiana's starting to come back to life. I mean, come down to earth.
I think they got a tough schedule.
Yeah, they got a tough schedule. Now, but the thing is, though, can the Celtics beat Toronto? You know what I mean? And let's face it, you know, we're talking about Stevens, who is, in my opinion, the best coach in the Eastern Conference. You know what I mean?
You still believe that.
You still believe it, huh?
Despite the fact this team might not win 50 games?
I do. I think, you know, we're talking about he X's and O's, but you got to manage personalities. That's part of coaching, but I think as far as X's and O's, he's a good coach. I just think that they got some – I mean, they have problems, but, you know. But then, like, let's face it, the Sixers do too. But so now my question with the Sixers are, like, we look at their starting lineup, and they do have the best starting lineup. But in order for them to play – and I know the playoffs, you get days off in between. But you're going to have to log a lot of minutes for these starters. Like – you know, Joel, you know, you're talking about he's gassed, right? I mean, we're talking about the knee. We're talking about the feet. Back. We're talking about the back. Can he deal with that? Because Boban only had 4 minutes tonight, right? So then you have Jimmy, the foot, the knee, the wrist, the this and that. It's all different things. You know, J.J. Redick's going to be 35. You know what I mean? So my thing is, it's like, yeah, that starting lineup is nice, but what happens if they get tired? Now, again, a playoff, they'll have a couple of days in between, but I think the talent level, both teams can do it. The problem with the Celtics, you just don't know, like, what Celtic team is going to show up on any particular day. The thing with the Sixers, it's going to be like, you know, what happens when the going gets rough and somebody gets that shot? And it's like, dog, I was wide open, man. Oh, you give it to me. You know what I mean? So I think, like, they both had the inside. They both can do it. Because if you want to be real, personally, the Celtics, talents-wise, they got the best team in the East. Talent from top to bottom. The Sixers have the best starting lineup. But the Celtics got the most talented team, in my opinion.
Well, I got you two here. Like, you Sixers every game. You're with the Celtics all the time. My thing is, I see the Celtics every once in a while. I see them on national TV when I'm around them. Why have they been so up and down? Why haven't they been able to figure it out? I remember you, Gary, you wrote about Brad Stevens earlier this year that he takes some of the blame. But I'm just curious because, you know, going into this season, if you went to Vegas and had over under 50 wins for the Celtics and you went for the under, you look like a genius right now, but how is that even possible with this team?
I just think they haven't dealt at all well with adversity, and that's been the most surprising part. But then again, it hasn't been because you've got a lot of young dudes on this team who want theirs. I mean, I don't think there's a bad dude in that locker room who's just like all about me. I need to give them all shots. Like, no. But I do think, like anybody, there's dudes in there with personal agendas as well as team. Terry Rozier is a restricted free agent. He want to get paid. Jaylen Brown feels like he's the emerging star. Jason want to be the next superstar. He's like, I'm going to make the All-Star team next. He just basically said, I'm going to make the All-Star team next year. Well, damn, Jason, really? Like, okay. That's saying a lot, right? So you got guys who want minutes, want their roles, and then they had their success in the playoffs last year, and then they come back, and it's just like, here comes Kyrie and Gordon. And then also here comes Marcus Morris, because Marcus played really well the first half. Too, yeah, right? And he's playing, and he signed with Rich Paul. You don't sign with Rich Paul, you know, to get to mid-level, right? You sign with Rich Paul because you want to get paid. So he signed with Rich Paul. He's trying to get paid. He's trying to make his career-defining contract because he'd be 30 this year.
And he gave it all up to Phoenix.
Yeah, so, like, you got everybody just wasn't on the same page. It's not like they were selfish. It was just, I think guys were just like, well, I could do that. Like Keith was saying about the Sixers. I could play that role. I could do better than that. And I just think it's just taking guys so long to learn how to deal with it. And also them being exposed is like, what the hell is wrong with y'all? Like people, they watch First Take. They read the papers. Or they don't read the papers anymore. They read the internet. They read Twitter. They're like, they know everybody's looking at them like, what's wrong with you? I'm sure they friends and they cousins. And they're like, how come y'all lose? Like, what's wrong with y'all? How are y'all fifth in the East? That's ridiculous. And they should know it. So they come out on a night like tonight and they play. I thought they played a really good first 42 minutes. They deserve to win the game the first 42. Then they make 3-4 errors, defensive switches. Jimmy gets hot. You know, Marcus Moore or whatever.
Smart's not on the floor.
Yeah, you let Ben get downhill for an and one. Ben, like, I don't know. If I'm anybody, I'm playing Ben 6 feet away from him and let him shoot. But they let him, you know, he gets a step on Morris and then gets to the basket, gets an and one. It's little things like that that have, like, crushed him. Or in the last game against Denver, they up 5. Denver played well. They up 5 at the end of the third. They miss a chance to get. They miss a chance to go up 7 at the end of the third. They give up a Monty Morris 3 with 1.1 left. Brad calls a timeout to try to get some kind of like Christian Laettner type play at the end of the third quarter. Marcus Morris throws the ball out of bounds, doesn't touch the floor, and then Denver inbounds under their own basket, and Jaylen Brown falls asleep in the dunk. So suddenly it's 80-80 instead of maybe 82-75. And then the Celtics were, like, mentally not right after that. Like, I've never seen a team with more talent that's more fragile. Like, I've just never seen that. There's teams, like, you know, there's teams that you look at, you're like, man, they're way better. We cover the league. You see these teams, man, they're way better than, you know, we look at, like, the Charlottes and the Orlandos. Like, they just blow games. Last night, the Hornets blew that game. Like, they had a chance. Like, the dang Sixers was like, beat us.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they couldn't. And then Ennis hits a 3. And then Lamb misses a 2-footer, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the Celtics in a sense. Like, it's like they just so fragile. They let 3-4 plays get to them tonight. Last night, Marcus Smart, you know, like, Marcus is, they love his fire, but you can't do that. Yeah. No. You're going to get ejected. Now, you can push him, but you can't push him from behind. It looked really bad. It's going to be all over
everything
tonight. Marcus is going to have to apologize.
He's going to be fine, probably.
Yeah, and he's already got an issue where he got tossed in Atlanta last month trying to go Mayweather on DeAndre Embry. So that might be a game suspension since his injury. I mean, he's like baby Draymond at this point. So it's like, it's just all this stuff. So now the whole question in Boston is, well, can they make a run? Can they, like, the 2010 Celtics was 4th seed. They made the game 7 of the finals, but that team had KG, Paul, and Ray Allen.
And they were all vets. Yes. They already had championships.
Yeah. They flipped the switch.
Let me, that's a good thing to start the second segment on, because when we talk about what team has more to lose, which team has more to lose, I mean, I think personally the Sixers do with a first-round exit, because, like, you got guys that you're trying to sign. And, you know, right now the stuff that's happening in Boston, and we all know, let's just say Anthony Davis, right? And we all know that the Celtics have the best assets to go get him of any team in the league. And if they have a first-round exit, they can say, look, we had a first-round exit. We got to go get this guy. You know, I mean, we have to. And, you know, I mean, do you agree? I mean, I honestly think, because here's my thing. This is what I'm saying. When it comes down to the Sixers.
Don't you think Kyrie might leave if they get?
I mean, you know what? Thing. I mean, he could leave, but what I'm saying is, but he going if he going to leave, like, if he want to go to New York, he going to go to New York. Like, he could kick this stuff and say what he wants to say to y'all and this and that. If the dude want to leave, he want to leave. Now, the thing about the Sixers, this is what I'm saying. If they have a first-round exit, right, and let's just say Tobias been a great soldier, but if Tobias isn't getting the rock and they got a first-round exit, New York is going to throw a lot of money at him. New York. And he may not get a 4-year or 5-year max, but nowadays these jokers don't want that. They want these 2-year deals, whatever, and then they can go and get
he's
another.
Just 26.
Yeah, he's 26, get money. He could go to Brooklyn, you know what I mean? I don't know if the Knicks, but he could go to Brooklyn, right, and play there. Jimmy lives in L.A., you know what I mean? He could go somewhere in L.A., and they're like, yo, this it just didn't work for me. Celtics, they could say, look, we're trying to get Anthony Davis. And, like, if they play well, then people are like, well, why are you trying to get rid of Jason? And if we advance the second year in the playoffs with.
It's hard because if you look at it, okay, Davis is – they're obviously interested in Davis. But does Davis come to Boston and re-sign without Kyrie? That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Do they have a gentleman – do they have a handshake like, hey, I'm going to talk to Danny Ainge – Kyrie saying this. I'm going to talk to Danny Ainge if – and I'm going to tell Danny, hey, if we can get you, I'll re-sign. I'll re-up. I'll wait – I'll have to make the trade, then I'll wait, then I'll opt out, or then I'll re-sign. Okay, that's a whole situation. We have no idea what's going on behind the scenes between Kyrie and Durant or Kyrie and Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Where they do have these agreements like we're going to team up, whether it's Kyrie and AD or Kyrie and KD. Is it going to be New York? Is Anthony like, I'm only going to Boston if you're there. If not, I ain't playing with them dudes. I don't know them like that. So that's the whole thing. So does Kyrie, is he out? Like, man, I'm tired of these young dudes. Woo woo. I want to go to New York anyway. I'm out after a first round exit. This team, like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I might as well just have my own team, get bring KD in, and I'll just be a Knick. And, you know, and I'll fill a lifelong dream. Okay. That's the whole thing, first round. Now, if they go to the conference finals, they close, or they go to the NBA, they go to the finals, then you're talking about Kyrie got to look like a heel walking away from a team that made the finals.
Well, he's done it before.
You know.
And that's the thing that, like.
And you don't know, and it's hard to tell, like, how happy or unhappy he is. He seems, you see him in practice, I mean, he's two different personalities. Someone told me from Cleveland, there's four different Kyries, and it's true. There's four different Kyries. Moody Kyrie, engaging Kyrie, you know, veteran, I'm putting your arm around a young guy. There's just so many Kyries you don't know. Oh, people are, oh, is he happy there? I don't know because I see all of them. I see short Kyrie. I see reflective Kyrie. You know, guys, you know, when I was younger, you're like, oh, it's about to be, he's about to go into a soliloquy. Then there's, one, you know, three-word answer Kyrie. So I can't tell you at all what makes this man happy. Who makes him? I don't know what makes him happy. He said he wasn't happy in Cleveland. They won a chip. So is New York going to make him happy?
He didn't win a shot.
Yeah. Is New York going to make him happy with a rebuilding team and him and another superstar and then winning like 48 games and then him being on the back page of the Post if he misses a game-winning shot or and the New York media was going to be on him?
A lot harder than y'all in Boston.
So it's hard.
And y'all are in Boston.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to say, like, what he's going to do if you're right, Keith. If they lose in the first round and Kyrie goes, they can just keep Rozier. Or they can try to go after AD. That'll work. They can kind of shuffle and try to get add another standout player and then try to go forward. But I'll
say I would go with Philly that has the most to lose.
Yeah.
Because I think if Boston, if they lose first round, Kyrie, if Kyrie leaves no matter what, if he just goes to New York, because I'm just going, because he already left Cleveland and I didn't really care about the fact they go to the finals every year. So he's gonna do what he wants to do. But if you're Boston, next year, you still got Hayward. You still got a guy who will be a year back, you know, off of his injury. Mm-hmm. Probably would look closer to what he should be, you know, in his prime. You know, because this year has obviously been up and down, and it should be expected. I think people probably been harder on him, just not taking consideration that when you miss a year of basketball, you're not going to be at that top level. I mean, shoot, MJ missed a year of basketball, and he wasn't himself when he came back that year, and they lost to Orlando in the playoffs. So it just happens. But I feel like with Philadelphia, so much is hinged on a deep run, because if the Celtics lose in the first round or second round or whatever, Brad Stevens is still going to be the coach. If the Sixers lose, Brett Brown probably going to get the boot. So you might lose your coach.
Yeah.
You might lose three starters from your best starting five in the Eastern Conference, right? Because don't forget, J.J. Redick is a free agent too. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't he come close to signing with Indiana last summer?
Yep.
So he actually was flirting with leaving in the first place. So if they don't get it, if they don't make a deep run, and the owners already said it, I want to see us, you know, making a deep run. And something, you know, so the owners already put it out there that they have to make a deep run. I haven't heard a similar pledge from the Celtics owners, but I'm sure they probably anticipate they're going to anyway. And so I feel like the Sixers have a lot hinged on getting it right these next couple weeks and going to the playoffs, you know, in a good rhythm. And it's funny, though, because everybody looks at the Sixers and you can nitpick at all the flaws, the chemistry's off, Jimmy sometimes drift, you don't know where he is sometimes, and like last night, you didn't know where he was the first three quarters, and then fourth quarter, he's hitting everything. So you can nitpick. They still got the third best record in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
When all is said and done. Mm-hmm. So it's just they're a strange team, but they're still winning despite that. And the Celtics, for whatever reason, they're having their problems. They have their chemistry issues, but they're having legit struggles, like legit, like inability to just stay focused when they need to. And that's concerning.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. But you know what? They're making millions of dollars.
I thought you about to say something deep.
I don't even know why I was listening.
You had us hanging, be like, you know what?
What?
Oh. All right, y'all. Now on this third segment, we just want to talk about a player who you're intrigued with. Now, right now, I have two of them. I have one with the Sixers, and I have one with the Celtics.
Okay.
Right? But Gordon Hayward's my guy with the Celtics. I want to see what he's going to do. You know what I mean? Because it seems like when he's on fire, they're on fire. You know what I mean? They're the same crew. I'm trying to see, what they're going to do. We know what Kyrie's going to do. I mean, you want to see how they blend together, but I think they do well. I really want to see what he does. But the guy overall is Ben Simmons. Mm. You know what I mean? Ben Simmons. And the reason being is like, I keep thinking back to him having one point against the Celtics in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the thing about Ben, and like we all look at Ben, and we even talked about it. You talked about in the first segment about why didn't they sag off against him. Well, I kept saying that all last year until the second round of playoffs, and Boston did it. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, y'all been covering the NBA way longer than I have. People guard you differently. And Ben is going to have to be able to take shots. Now, what the Sixers are doing now is they're trying to trick people. Right? They got Ben playing power forward, really. But they're telling you he a point guard. But Jimmy Butler is really the point guard, basically. But when Ben has the ball in his hands, it's going to come a point where he's going to have to stick some jumpers. And he's going to have to make them. Because just because he shoots them doesn't mean that people are going to come up. You know what I mean? He's going to have to make them. So that's the guy for me.
I think Hayward's a good one. The guy I look at for Philadelphia, we can choose both teams.
Yeah.
The guy I look at for the 76ers is Butler. Mm-hmm. You know, tonight, it's like Jimmy's a dog, which is a good thing, obviously, is, you know, this new current lingo. Jimmy's a dog. But is he waiting for the playoffs to turn it on and be full 100% dog? Is he trying to be a nice guy at this point? As nice as Jimmy can be, because we all know Jimmy's not all that nice. You know, so he's being nice. But what Jimmy are we going to see in the playoffs, right? And then how is that going to affect the rest of the guys? Is Joel going to be complaining about his touches? The last time they came, the Celtics came out here, Joel was complaining about his touches. And Joel, and as much as he's a winner, he wants to win, you know, but he's got the commercials, he got everything. And some guys don't need a title. They want touches and points more than titles. I don't know about Embiid in that sense. Jimmy's a guy who's kind of the same way. He don't have the commercials and stuff, but how bad does Jimmy want this? Or does Jimmy just want to put up his numbers, get his free agency money, and then bounce? So how much of a winner is Jimmy Butler? What is he going to do in the playoffs? He had a great fourth quarter, you know, but I looked at his numbers last night, 7 for 17, 3 for 9. He just hit big shots. He was not very good. He's a plus 11, but I didn't look at Jimmy and be, man, Jimmy, this is Jimmy's game. He made plays in the fourth quarter. For the Celtics, you know what I'm going to say? It's going to be Jason Tatum. Jason, last night, a minus 17, like in his 33 minutes, the worst in the team. Marcus Morris was a minus 13. Marcus has been, you know, below average for like 2 months now. Jason's got to be better. He got to hit that open three he had in the corner. That would have been huge. It went in and out. Not as far. Hey, that happens. But Jason's got to impose his will. There's times I look at Jason and people look at Jason and go, there's no effing way I would trade him for Anthony. I would not include him in a Davis deal. The dude's 21 years old doing that. The dunk he had on Ben the last time. I mean, he is just capable, but it's got to go on more. He's got to be more aggressive. He doesn't get calls tonight. No free throws. Okay, he attacks the basket. He's second year. He ain't getting no dang calls. So he got to figure out a way. I mean, Gordon is important, but I think Jason has got to help out Kyrie more. It can't be Al's not going to score 22 every night. He's not that type of player. Jason's got to average 20. He's got to hit his J. He can't do that Kobe stuff. Okay, I'm going to do the one-legged fadeaway, triple team. No, man. Play within your game, attack the basket, and that was the guy. So I'm saying Butler and Tatum.
What about you?
I'm just going to pick somebody different, too, for each team. To me, the guy who I really want to see in the playoffs is Kyrie Irving, because this is his first time being the lead guy on a playoff team. You know, when he played in Cleveland, he had LeBron there, so the pressure was on LeBron to deliver. And if LeBron didn't deliver, LeBron was going to get the blame for the most part. You know, Kyrie obviously has had a really interesting kind of postseason career because, you know, he got hurt that first year, didn't finish out the finals. Obviously won the championship the next year, hitting the big shot. And then the next year, he was distant from his team through that whole finals run. And then last year, he didn't play at all. So now he has a chance to really – this is what he wanted. You know, he wanted to be the man. He wanted to be the guy in the spotlight. And I just wonder, like, we figure he's going to get his numbers. But is he going to do enough for his teammates to shine in those moments? Is he going to give up the ball to Jason Tatum and show trust in him that he can deliver? I mean, you said you want to see what he can do, but I think a lot of that's going to be dependent on what Kyrie does as a point guard, as a leader, to make sure he inspires his guys and gets them going. Is he going to get Jaylen Brown the ball? Is he going to let Terry Rozier rock if he got it going that night? You know, because I think that he's going to be under a lot of scrutiny too, because there's going to be so many rumors about his future. Is he staying? Is he going? And so I'm really interested to see what Kyrie's going to do in his first playoff as the guy, you know, because he asked for it. And, you know, sometimes you get what you ask for and it ain't what you wanted. And so I'm interested to see what he does. And with the Sixers, the guy who I want to see is Joel Embiid. Because I think we said it before on this podcast, this is the first season, like this is his third season actually playing, but it's the first season that him being on the floor wasn't a novelty. Like, he's playing back-to-back games sometimes. Maybe not now. But, yeah, you know, and last year he had that facial fracture that sort of bumped him, you know, so he wasn't in good shape when he finally got to the postseason. So now he's gearing up now to get his body ready for the playoffs. Is he going to be able to handle the minutes that he's going to have to carry in the postseason? Is he going to have the endurance to go not just to the first round, second round? Is he going to have the endurance to get to the conference finals and still play at a high level? Because this is his first time that he's really going to be able to have to play on this stage after playing a full season, you know, where he had to do a lot of heavy lifting and he's putting up big numbers every night. So I'm interested to see what Joel Embiid does after having played a full season, when they're going to have to really ride him, and to see if the humiliation that he had to endure against Al Horford, if he is ready for what's going to come up when teams are game planning for him specifically, and each night he has to come up with the adjustment from the previous game. So those are the two guys to me that I really want to see what they do in the postseason. They're obviously the biggest stars on both teams, but they also have a lot of scrutiny. They're going to be under a lot of scrutiny.
All right. Well, look, y'all, I want to thank y'all for joining the podcast. I want to thank y'all for listening in. And, hey, I just real quick, Mike, why don't you give them your Twitter handle so people can follow you?
Mr. Michael Lee.
All right, that's it?
MRMICHAELLEE.
Okay. And
don't forget the at.
Oh, at. Yeah. What about you, Wash?
G. Washburn Globe. G. Washburn Globe is my Twitter.
That sounds crazy. G. Washburn Globe. G. Washburn Globe is my Twitter.
It's my Twitter.
All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. And have a great one. Peace.